Today is Sunday, August 8th, 2021, and this...
This is Las Vegas, Nevada, friends. You might as well relax because your old phony neighbors aren't here. And when you get home, lie to them. Tell them you won $50,000 or $60,000. They'll worry to death. They'll look out the window every day then see what you bought.
It's 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 796.
Las Vegas, Nevada! I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! Do you think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. What's going on?
Nothing. You seem rather bubbly this morning.
Are you suggesting I'm not normally bubbly?
Yes.
I don't like the word bubbly.
Yeah. Vivacious.
Vibrant.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm just trying to,
spread some joy.
That's what we do here on the podcast. We spread Vegas-y joy. That's what we're going to do today. You know who else spreads Vegas-y joy? Our listeners. And they support this podcast week in and week out. I'm talking, of course, about our Patreon patrons. We have some new ones this week. Michael Marcinkowski. You thought I was going to butcher that name, didn't you? Tracy Braun. Frank Olivo. And Justin. Thanks to these and all of our patrons, we do appreciate your support of the podcast. If you would like to join them, visit patreon.com/500. Mm-hmm. I do want to mention, for anyone who has not yet received their latest pin
and poker chip.
Yep. If they don't show up in the next couple days, let me know. I have tracking on those so I can check. And every once in a while, there's something weird where somebody's information doesn't pull on the spreadsheet that I use. And so anyway, I always want to make sure everybody gets their stuff if they're supposed to. So let me know if that doesn't, we'll take care of you. So, all right, moving along. We've got a bunch of stuff to talk about this week. We're going to get some phone calls from our listeners later. And a good time will be had by all. Let's start out with one of those stories that I feel obligated to talk about, even though there's really not that much to it in terms of how it affects people's trips and experiences in Las Vegas. And that is another one of those business transactions, one of those real estate deals. MGM Resorts is selling its ownership interest in a company it spun off several years ago called MGM Growth Properties. So they created this real estate investment trust so that they could have their property in one company and then they could focus their main company efforts on the business operations of running the casinos and resorts. And they've been saying all along that they intended to reduce their ownership interest in that spinoff. And now they are doing so. They are selling off their interest to Vici, which is one of the other big real estate investment companies. The reason that I mention this is because, as a result of this, Vici owns a lot of stuff. They already did own a lot of stuff on the Strip, but now they own a really lot of stuff on the Strip in terms of the real estate. They are not involved in the operations. It does not affect who operates or how they're operated or anything like that. All they do is collect rent. So in terms of your experience, it does not matter. However, as will happen in Las Vegas, at some point you're going to be in an Uber or a cab, and you're going
to have someone
drop some knowledge on you that'll be, hey, you know, all of these casinos are owned by the same company now. And it's not true. I mean, a lot of the land is owned by Vici or will be owned by Vici once this closes. But in terms of how they're run and how it affects you, it does not matter. So you can dismiss their wisdom. It's one of those things that just fucking doesn't matter in terms of the tourist experience.
Not to disparage the hardworking people in the service industries. It's just that
they're often
some
wrong.
Of them like to make small talk that is incorrect.
There is no better source of bad information than the Las Vegas cab driver, Uber driver, bartender, etc. So there you go. All right. So anyway, yes, Vici owns a lot of stuff. Moving along to more interesting things. Also involving MGM Resorts, this week they announced that they are donating 2 acres of land to the to be used as a memorial for the victims of the Route 91 music festival shooting a few years ago. Not a complete surprise. That land, of course, has been sitting empty and unused ever since that incident. And there have been a couple things they've thrown around as far as ideas for using that, but they haven't done anything. They still own, well, so they're donating 2 acres. It's like roughly 15 or 16 acres total, so it's just a small sliver of that. No word on what they plan to do with the rest of that lot at this point. You may remember at one point they announced they were going to put in they were calling it a community center. Mm-hmm. But if you really read into it, you could figure out that it was a practice facility for their WNBA team. Mm-hmm. They sold off that WNBA team, the Las Vegas Aces, to the owner of the Raiders. And I would imagine as a result of that transaction, this community center concept will mysteriously just disappear. Funny how they don't need a community center once they don't have a WNBA team to, mm-hmm. you know, play in it. But who knows? Maybe that'll still happen, but I suspect not. I don't know what the time frame is for putting up some sort of a memorial. I know that I don't know if it's Clark County or who. There is a committee. There is an organization that is looking at how to best commemorate that tragedy. And at least now they know that they have an appropriate space for building whatever they end up building to remember those people. So there you go. That will be happening at some point. Good move for MGM to contribute some land for that project. All right. Every once in a while, we have some people who are upset.
This week,
rest assured that I was on the internet within minutes, registering my disgust throughout the world.
In outrage.
This is bullshit!
And when there's outrage, you know what that means. There are fees. And this week, it is, of course, the favorite fee, parking fees. Well, parking and resort fees. I think those are probably tied at this point for most outrageous fees. Or fees generating the most outrage, at least. All right, one of the locations that has not, up until this point, had paid parking now does, and that is the Miracle Mile Shops at Planet Hollywood. That has been a haven mid-strip for people to park for free.
Mm-hmm.
No more. As of this past Monday, they now charge. You can go in for free for 1 hour, so if you're truly just going in, you know, to pick up something at the shop, but even if you're doing that, who's going to spend only an hour there? Seems unlikely. The rate for parking...
It's going to take you a few minutes to even walk through the shops.
Well, exactly. It's a large, large place. So what they're saying as their reasoning for implementing parking fees, and there may be something to this, it wouldn't surprise me, I guess, because when everybody else charges and you're free, you're obviously going to have a lot more people parking there.
Mm-hmm.
But that they were running into issues where people who actually were coming there...
Mm-hmm.
to use their stores and
couldn't find spots because of the people who were taking advantage of the free parking.
Exactamundo, as Fonzie would say.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the parking rates, free for 1 hour, $12 for up to 4 hours, and there's a $15 max for the day. So you're going to pay 12 or 15 depending on how long you're there, or more if you're there for multiple days, I suppose. So there we go. Fewer places to park at no charge.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Is there anything where you can get it validated if you spend a certain amount or no?
Not that I saw. Okay. So the Cromwell, another place mid-strip, you may recall when they reopened in October of 2020, they had made a change and announced they were now an adults-only establishment. You had to be 21 or over to go there. Not a huge deal since that's not exactly a haven for children anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like, oh, maybe we're going to start seeing that trend spread a little bit. Apparently not.
Mm-hmm.
Because It is no longer 21 plus according to Vegas changes. They have ditched that policy. Again, not going to have that big of an effect because it's not really somewhere where there's anything for kids to do. And other than passing through, you know, probably not going to see a lot of families in there. However, it does signal that that's probably not likely to expand, at least not at Caesars properties anytime soon. My guess, and this is purely a hunch, is that the cheapskates who are now running Caesars Entertainment, who are looking to cut corners as much as possible, just don't want to deal with having additional security
to enforce this policy.
Yeah, and I don't know if they had people at the doors necessarily, but they had to certainly keep a closer eye on it, and that means more people dealing with it. And even if it's an extra security guard or two per shift, that costs them money, and they seem to be in a cost-cutting mode right now. And I don't know that for sure, but again, my guess based on the other things that they're doing. So there you go. I would imagine if you're looking for somewhere on the strip that is more adult-oriented, you're still going to be fine at the Cromwell. But they just don't have a policy enforcing it anymore.
What do you know offhand what the pool policy is?
That's a good question.
Because I know that I'm sure the nightclub is definitely 21 plus, but the day club,
I don't know.
Also,
I don't know if you could go up there with your kids for pool time or not if you're staying at the hotel. I'm not sure. That's a good question. There you go. So that might be an issue if you are looking for a child-free pool. That might not be the place. But all right, across the street from the Cromwell is Bally's, of course, and Vegas Changes also is reporting on that establishment, specifically restaurants. They have closed two of their restaurants that have been there for quite a while. One of them is
my favorite,
Buca di Beppo, which is, as you know, if you've listened to this podcast, horrible. We've never gone to the Vegas location, but that chain is based in Minneapolis and is exactly what you would expect from Italian food based in Minneapolis. And then their taco and tequila place, Tequila Taqueria, that has also closed. So right now, Bally's has almost no restaurants. It's, you know, and some of that is because of the pandemic, but they've been shutting stuff down. And BLT Steak is still listed on their website as a restaurant, but that has not yet reopened. It's still listed as temporarily closed. You may recall they temporarily had a Nobu location in between the Hard Rock and Virgin transition. They housed that temporarily, and now that Virgin's open and Nobu is at that establishment, it's no longer at Bally's. They have that little deli back by the poker room. That is open only on weekends. So that's pretty limited. Down in the basement, they've got a couple fast food places. Sbarro is still closed. That would surprise me. Nathan's Hot Dogs is open. So if you really want something to eat at Bally's, you're pretty much limited to either a hot dog, something from the coffee stand in the lobby, which is open 24 hours a day, or they're sending people to Burger Brasserie, which is technically a...
in Paris.
Yeah, it's in that walkway between Paris and Bally's. And it's considered
not very far.
Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually like... casino-wise, it's closer to the Bally's Casino than to the Paris Casino. They've expanded their hours. They're open 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. daily, so that's probably where you're going to end up if you want to have something to eat at Bally's these days.
Or the shacks out front.
Yeah, whatever is left in the shanty town out in front. There are certainly some places to eat there, too. You can get some deep dish pizza from Giordano's, I suppose. So yes, know that if you're staying at Bally's, you're probably going to be going to another casino to eat because there's not much going on there. Hopefully they will resolve that. That casino really needs a, well, if not 24-hour, at least expanded hour general coffee, as they used to be called, coffee shops, but you know, those just the your general kind of serve it all restaurants,
breakfast all day, sandwiches, whatever.
Yeah, they really need they need something like that. It seems like that would, at the very least, they should have that. But for a resort this size to have that little in terms of food right now is not great. All right, another, at least for now, Caesar's property, Rio, has a rare restaurant opening. There hasn't been a lot opening at Rio lately. But they have a Korean barbecue joint now called Kang's Kitchen. It's open Wednesdays through Sundays from 4 p.m. to midnight. Korean barbecue is delicious. The prices seem a little steep for an establishment at Rio, however. The entrees there are typically $35 to $50. So I guess this is one of those places where you've got the, you prepare it on your own. You're at a table that has like the grill
oh.
in front of it, and they bring you slabs of meat, I guess.
Hmm.
So anyway, if I'm going to have Korean barbecue.
I don't want to pay to cook my own food.
Right? And at Rio, it's like, well, you throw in all those factors, and I think you should be docking about 45% off of those prices. If I want to pay that much, I will go to Best Friend at Park MGM, which is delicious, and they do the work for you.
Yes.
So if anybody does try it, let us know. Give us a review. But I suspect, as with most things at Rio, we probably won't hear much about it. At Wynn, the former Parasol Up space is now reopened. It is called Overlook. We discussed this a while back. It is a, I think they're calling it Ultra Lounge. It doesn't look that, I mean, they remodeled it. It looks a lot like it did when it was Parasol Up. Parasol Down is also going to be going through a renovation, according to Vegas Eater. That's going to be shutting down in September. Don't know if it's going to go through a name change and how drastic the remodel will be, but keep an eye out for that. Hopefully it won't suck when they get done with it. And if you check out Overlook, let us know how it compares to Parasol Up in terms of service and prices and all that stuff. Would love to hear about it. Hopefully you can still get a delicious Sinatra smash there. I would imagine you can. Caesar's Palace has had a long-standing residency. We have not had the chance to check it out, although I know it's been high on your list for many years to see. Reba McEntire and Brooks and Dunn, they're going to be closing out their residency. They've been around that venue since 2015. That is a good run.
That's a long time, yeah.
For
a Vegas show.
Yeah, any headliner show that lasts that long, good for them. They're closing down with 9 shows in December, the first half of December during the rodeo, where the city is overrun with cowboys and country music concerts. So seems like a good time. They will certainly sell those out. But if you haven't had a chance yet to see Reba and Brooks and Dunn and you've wanted to, you better get your ass to Vegas in December because this is your last chance. There's another residency coming, this one at Planet Hollywood. Gene Simmons has been promoting this art show. I have no idea if his art is any good. Mm-hmm. I would imagine, now in my mind, Gene Simmons, if you were to ask me, podcasting's Tim, what would Gene Simmons' artwork look like? I would guess it would be a bunch of dicks. Because if you've listened to Gene Simmons' lyrics, it seems to be pretty much one track in terms of his topics. So I would think Gene Simmons, when he's scribbling some stuff out on, you know, blowing off some steam, he's just drawing a bunch of dicks. I doubt that's really the case, but it seems like that would be logical to me. But he's going to be doing an art show. He's going to, a couple days in October. While promoting that, he told the Review Journal that KISS is going to be doing a Vegas residency in the midst of their current tour. I believe this is their 45th farewell tour, and they're going to drop some Vegas dates in the middle. So if you want to see KISS in Vegas, you're going to have the chance beginning on December 27th with additional dates. He said here and there in
very specific
January and February. So I would imagine that means a handful of weekends that they'll be doing. They'll be performing at the Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood. This is an unofficial thing. He probably wasn't supposed to announce it, but he owns KISS, so what the hell? Why not? When official details are announced, we'll discuss pricing and stuff like that further. But keep an eye out for that. KISS coming to Planet Hollywood if you are a fan.
Good banter.
Nobody beats Paul Stanley for banter. Do I have it on here? Do I have my...
Your favorite Paul Stanley moment?
Boy, I just sent it to somebody recently, too. I don't.
Aw. Oh, well.
It's good to be it's good to be proud of where you're from, St. Paul.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much how it sounds. Yeah, so there you go. KISS coming back to Las Vegas. I think Gene is living there these days.
Hmm.
One of my cousins ran into him at a bar recently in Las Vegas. Had a picture taken with him.
Lovely.
Uh-huh. All right. So, moving along. Cirque. Are you familiar with the Circus of the Sun?
Sure.
All right. Cirque has shows that are coming back post-pandemic, and one of them was supposed to open sooner than it's going to. They've decided to delay Ka at MGM Grand. I think it was supposed to open in October. Now it's November, according to a spokesperson speaking with the Review Journal. So if you've been wanting to see Ka, you might have to wait a little bit longer. It'll be at least November at this point. Also at MGM Grand, Brad Garrett's Comedy Club is moving. It's going to still be within MGM Grand. It used to be downstairs in the lower concourse where they have some shops. God, I haven't been down there
in ages.
Well over a decade, I would say, since I've been in that space. So I don't know what's down. All I can remember is we had several drinks at Fat Tuesdays. And that's where we saw the most magnificent mullet of all time.
Oh,
was beautiful. That after NSYNC?
Yes, it was.
Oh, man. It was the mullet to end all mullets.
Mm-hmm.
Did we have a photo of that thing?
No, we did not. Because that was shame. The days before digital cameras and, well, digital cameras were just starting, but it was not a cell phone.
We probably wouldn't have had it because they might not have allowed it into the concert. But anyway, yes. So I don't know if Fat Tuesdays is still there. But anyway, Brad Garrett's Comedy Club is moving out of the dungeon and going into the former China Tang restaurant space. That's along Restaurant Row, kind of that walkway between the casino and the arena. They've got a ton of restaurants back there, and they're going to be using that space. According to the Review Journal, they're going to be expanding. And they're going to have, in addition to the normal comedy club hours at night, they will be open a little bit earlier, and they'll have some live music in there too. So more of a lounge environment earlier in the evening. So that is coming. I'm not sure what the opening date is for that, but it'll be moving soon. Near MGM Grand, of course, the Showcase Mall, where you can get, what do they have? Ross Dress for Less, some chain restaurants. It's quite an establishment. We've walked past it many, many times. They have a closed-down movie theater there, and they've been transitioning some of that space into the Flyover Las Vegas attraction. This was announced a couple years ago, and it actually is happening. At the time, we were like, oh, I don't know if this is going to happen, but it is. They've been building it out, and they now have an opening date of September 1st. They're going to have two different options when they open for the motion. What are they called? Like motion simulator ride things. and the seats move and they have like mist and it's like a multi-sensory experience.
Ooh.
So that's why they need a big movie theater space for it's a large affair and they have a screen that completely wraps around you.
Is it immersive?
It is immersive. The two options are the Real Wild West and Iceland. And the Real Wild West is like Grand Canyon, Las Vegas Strip, all that stuff.
Okay.
For me, that's the one I would certainly choose because if I'm going to do this thing where I'm flying over something, I want it to be the Las Vegas Strip. $34 per show, or if you want both of them, it's $54 per person, or you can get both and a drink for $59. So those are your options.
I would be vomiting, so this is not an option for me.
No, I might do this.
Enjoy.
Yeah, I know that that's not a thing for you, but I might do this just to experience it.
Yep.
FlyoverLasVegas.com is the website where you can buy tickets and get all the details. But that is coming September 1st. It might be entertaining. All right. There's a virtual reality. We've been talking a lot about the themed escape rooms. This is a themed virtual reality experience. It's only for a temporary time, but I thought it was somewhat noteworthy. If you're a fan of the Netflix movie Army of the Dead and you're going to be in Las Vegas in October, there is a, I guess it's a gutted out taco truck, and I assume that's something from the movie. It's like Sin City Tacos, and it's touring the country. So if you can't see it, do this in Las Vegas but want to, you might be able to do it elsewhere. They have a virtual reality thing, so you've got your virtual reality goggles and a fake gun, and you're shooting zombies, apparently.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't seen the movie. But October 13th to the 24th, this is one of those things where it's the location to be announced. It's a taco truck. They can park it anywhere. What the hell, you know? I imagine it'll probably end up at Area 15 or somewhere like that. Anyway, that's coming to Las Vegas. It's $24 for a 30-minute game. If you're interested in keeping an eye on this and finding out where it is, if you're going to be in Vegas during that time, armyofthedeadvr.com. And you can also check out the other cities that it's going to be touring in as well. All right, let's talk about this fucking thing again. Immersive Van Gogh. This is the one at Cosmo. They're putting it up on the third floor in some sort of converted restroom space or something. It was supposed to open on July 1st, and then it was supposed to open on July 26th.
Mm-hmm.
It's now opening on September 15th. They're still working on that. And the reason they're giving is supply chain issues related to the air conditioning units. The producers of the show said that the county will not allow them to open with temporary air conditioning units, to which I say, there's space in crystals that's not air conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
That seems odd.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It doesn't seem to be going great with the plans to open the immersive Van Gogh thing. And this is another thing that's been, they've got locations, they've been touring the country. I don't know what the problem is here, but September 15th, being an enterprising organization that it is, the other Van Gogh thing, that's the same thing. It's a fucking slideshow on a grand scale. Anyway, Van Gogh, the immersive experience, the other one that is currently open temporarily at Area 15, they have extended their run, coincidentally, through September.
Hmm.
By the time that other one opens, nobody's going to
be interested anymore.
No, if they wanted to do it, they would have done the one at Area 15. So mm-hmm. good luck to immersive Van Gogh, but boy, stumbling over their own buttholes. So there you go. That's what's going on in Las Vegas this week. Lots of fun stuff coming your way.
I have quite an image. Is it prolapsed?
Sure. Why not? Well, I thought it would. It's sexist to say stumbling over their own dicks. That's making an assumption that there are guys that are fucking this up, although realistically, it probably is a bunch of fuck up dudes. So this is the gender neutral stumbling over their own buttholes.
Okay.
I don't know.
That includes
what came to mind. It's all encompassing.
Yeah.
And you picture it in whatever way you so choose.
Okay.
All right. We've got some listener calls that have been accumulating on our voicemail line.
Can we call the show Prolapsed Butthole?
We can call it whatever we want.
Sorry.
If that's what you want to call it, sure. Do you have any thoughts on prolapsed buttholes that you'd like to share?
I do not.
Do you have any knowledge of?
No.
It's not a topic I'm familiar with.
No.
All right. This is a lovely conversation. Aren't you glad you listened, folks? You weren't expecting to hear that when you tuned in today, unless we called the show that, in which case you were like, I wonder when they're going to talk about the prolapsed buttholes. right, yes, we're definitely calling.
And
the
do they have
that
mesh
now
for that? Like, you know, you see the infomercial, or not the infomercial, but the
those bottom feeding attorneys.
Yes,
we are here to serve you by what the issues that we've got for the bottom feeding attorneys these days. We've got the mesothelioma. That mm-hmm. one's been a big one for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Boy Scout kitty fiddling. We've got, you don't see, there aren't as many, but for a while, the vaginal mesh.
The vaginal mesh, yes.
That was a big one.
That was, yes.
Every once in a while, you'll, debt collection harassment. That's mm-hmm. that's a big one for the bottom feeders. What are the other ambulance chasey things? I think there's another one lately. Oh, any of the medication lawsuits.
Mm.
Did you die?
Zantac or?
Yeah, did you die because
talc.
You took?
Talc was another one.
Oh, that is another one. Yes. Did you put talc in your naughty places and it gave you cancer? All right. So, yes. How did we get on that topic? Prolapsed buttholes. That's right. It all comes back around. Do you suffer from a prolapsed butthole? Call our attorneys today. 1-800-ASK-GARY. Not an actual attorney. All right. Moving along. What, I don't know how we get to these places in this show. Okay, listener calls.
I take the blame.
We've got some. No, it's fine. We've got some listener calls. We're going to start getting caught up on this week. Let's start with this person here with this call.
Hey, guys. It's July 11th, first day in town. We are seeing downtown at Epicel. A couple observations for you. We landed at about 8:30 this morning. We had a ride with Presidential lined up like $75. Just for the heck of it, when we landed, I checked the Uber price to get downtown. It was about $25. So maybe things are getting better in the Uber market here. A couple other observations are everything is understaffed. It's very hard to get a drink anywhere. There's still reduced bar hours. The Omaha Bar at the Plaza was closed completely today. other than that, everything is very busy. At Circa, all the tables on the main floor were open and relatively full. A lot of customers and not enough staff, I would say. I guess one of the highlights so far nobody talked about is we really enjoyed Whiskey Liquor Up at Vivian's. Really good chicken wings and a nice view rotating around on Fremont Street. It's our first day in town. Hopefully I will call back with more reports. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for that report. We do appreciate it. So, yeah, this has been coming up a lot ever since people started rescheduling their trips and returning to Las Vegas. The ride-sharing situation, it varies widely depending on the day and the time. So keep your options open is my advice. If you normally take ride-sharing, as far as, like, the airport, have both Uber and Lyft on your phone and check, you know, as soon as you land to see what prices are. And if they are more than what you would normally pay, then wait for a cab instead. You know, you've got that option still to fall back on. So, and in terms of going from place to place, again, it varies by day. So you just kind of have to be flexible with these things now. Don't worry about it too much. You're not going to get, if you're venturing off strip, you know, then your ability to get one, if you're in, you know, at a
Sam's Town,
at a strip mall somewhere. Oh yeah, we'll discuss Sam's Town momentarily. By the way, we have another call, and so that's where you might run into some trouble. If you're going off strip, you might want to rent a car. I think the car rental situation is getting a little better than it was too. So you've got options, but I would just be flexible and don't sweat it. You're not going to get stranded if you're on the strip or downtown. All right. And just be patient. You might have to wait an extra 10 minutes. That's not that big of a deal. Moving along to our next caller.
This is Jeff calling with some update from my quick getaway to Vegas for 4 days. First, on the topic of ride shares, I took a ride share from the airport to get to my hotel at Aria, and it actually worked pretty well. I hit the button when I picked up my bag from baggage claim, and it only took about 6 minutes on Lyft for the driver to show up and pick me up. So that's much improved over what it was like in April last time I was here, where it was closer to 20 to 25 minutes. Staying at the Aria, I've been pretty impressed. This is my first time staying here. I always kind of wrote it off because it felt like it was a little bit set back from the strip. But it's a really nice hotel, and I've actually been very impressed with most of the MGM properties. Speaking as someone who used to stay and play at Caesars and decided to leave them because all their properties seem to be falling apart, I will say that MGM seems to do a much better job with upkeep on their places. And as far as play and comps, I've felt like they've done just as good a job, if not better, with giving me offers. So good job to MGM on that. One of the things that I've taken advantage of the last couple times I came is the digital key and digital check-in you can do from your phone. As soon as you land at the airport, you can just launch the MGM Resorts app and check in. And both times, for me, it's worked really well. I've gotten a decent room, and it saves you a whole bunch of time from waiting in line at the reception hotel. I have noticed some people have been having issues trying to use the digital key in the elevators, but so far for me, at least with an iPhone, it's worked fine. The other thing I really like about Aria is it's very close to Park MGM, which I've never stayed there as a hotel since it was the Monte Carlo, but for the casino, I'd say it's probably now my new favorite place to play. The table limits are reasonable, and I actually like the smoke-free atmosphere. I would say it's not the most exciting casino on the strip, but it gets the job done. Yesterday, I took the long walk up the strip to go check out the new Resorts World, and it's okay. It looked like it's going to be a nice place, but currently, I've just found it to be a little bit bland, a little bit, I guess it just lacks any personality, really. I spent some time playing some video poker in the back near the sports book, and it was nice, and everyone was friendly. The casino was pretty busy, but It just, it's completely lacking in personality. Now, that being said, I do think the hotel is going to do very well. They're going to get all the Hilton loyalty members. Convention traffic is concerned. Because it's going to have a stop on the Vegas Loop, it's going to be very easy for conventioners to get back and forth to the Las Vegas Convention Center. So I think it actually will do very well. As far as everything else, Strip is busy, but it's not ridiculous. It's actually kind of nice. It's got a good energy and vibe without just being too overcrowded. So for a quick 48 getaway, it's been fun. I'll call back if I've got any more updates. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for your observations. Appreciate your calls. We'll hear more back from him in a little bit, including the downside to the mobile digital key that he discovered. So, yeah, appreciate that call. It's funny because over the years, between Caesars and MGM,
mm-hmm.
it's sort of a roller coaster as far as which one is the shittier company. And it's certainly for a while, Caesars was kind of on the upswing.
Mm-hmm.
And now with their new ownership, it seems like they're
not maintaining stuff.
Cutting a lot of stuff, and the Players Club is getting not as great as it used to be. I mean, so MGM is looking more appealing. For a while, they were making some questionable decisions, but now, you know, they've always had, their properties have always been nicer than Caesars.
Yes.
But yeah, I might give MGM a look more than I was inclined to in the past as well. Mm-hmm. I haven't put any points on my card there in years.
Same.
But I would.
Yeah, Aria's nice.
Yeah, I like Aria. All righty. Next up.
Hey, this is Between Bankrolls calling again. Just wanted to pass along something I learned yesterday for the Caesars Diamond Celebration dinner. I knew I had two of them on my card. I went and asked at Caesars before dinner at the Total Rewards desk if I could use both of them at once. Actually, I didn't even ask. She told me I couldn't. But anyway, we went to dinner at Old Homestead, which was awesome. Asked them right away if we could use both of them at once, and it was no problem. So at least at Old Homestead, it wasn't an issue, but I guess depending on where you go, your mileage may vary. Also, we're staying at the Cal. Everything is good except for not a lot of things are open still. Hollow Bar has very short hours, and on Tuesday and Wednesday, cable games are not open until noon. So, thanks for everything you guys do. We'll see ya.
All right. Thanks for that update. Yes, sometimes it helps to ask
different people
the same question, especially when you're dealing with Players Club.
Oh, yeah.
It seems often, it's very common, and it's been this way for as long as we've been going to Las Vegas, that the people who are working at the Players Club booth often don't. They're fine at doing the transactional stuff,
mm-hmm.
giving you a new card, or, you know, if they have like a gift promotion or something like that kind of stuff. But in terms of really knowing a lot about
the ins and outs,
it's questionable. So, but good move.
I'm glad they were able to use both. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. For some
reason, the Hollow Bar at the Cal.
Hollow.
Reminds me of cranberry juice. I always order something with cranberry juice there.
Interesting, the associations we have. I don't know. Are there specific bars that I associate with specific beverages? I mean, there are some where I remember, oh, that's the first time I had blah, blah, blah. But
yeah,
that's interesting that you have that close of an association.
I don't know why. It's just always, yeah.
I suppose there are some. There are a couple places where, like, I know, whenever we've gone to, what is the Golden Nugget Bar right inside off of Fremont Street?
Oh, Bar 46.
Whenever we've gone to Bar 46, it seems like I end up getting it at Martini.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably goes back to when they had a variety of stuff. Olives, yes. I don't think they do anymore.
I don't think they do either. But,
and we haven't been there in a while. But so, yeah, I guess there are certain bars where, for whatever reason, I have a certain drink. But that's funny that you hear that and immediately think cranberry juice. All right. Next caller, please.
Hey, Tim and Michelle, Wilson, New York here, heading out in Vegas in about 3 weeks, and I was just curious, are the shuttle buses running yet, you know, and also are any of the discount ticket places open, or are the shows just gouging everybody for full price? Thanks. Have a great week. Bye.
I'm not exactly sure for shuttle buses. I don't know if you're talking about like airport shuttle buses or the Gold Coast to Orleans to Fashion Show Mall. That one I think is running. I looked to see if the legendary Sam's Town,
where you can get a shuttle to anywhere in the city.
Once you get to Sam's Town, you can go anywhere in the nation practically for free, from what they say. That's the legend has it. It looks like on the Sam's Town website that is not yet reopened.
Ooh.
There's no reference to the shuttle in the same way.
So you could get stuck out there.
Yeah, conceivably you could.
Oh, Lord.
Although if you're saying that's not like the most remote area, I think you could probably get a cab at Sam's Town.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess. But so I don't know. It depends on the specific shuttle. And I don't know. And it depends how loosely you're referring to shuttles. Like, are you talking about like the monorail or the... Are you talking about like the trams between Treasure Island and Mirage?
I'm thinking shuttles, like the.
There aren't that many of those around anymore, so. No. I don't assume not. otherwise, you need to be more specific. As far as the tickets booth, Tix for Tonight is reopened, and you can check all the locations on their website and details on that. So, yes, that is once again an option. Alrighty, thank you for that call. Moving along to our old friend Rue.
Hello, Tim and Michelle. It's Rue from Denton, Texas, calling in with a trip report. Recently got to stay out at the Paradise location of the Cosmopolitan with two lovely people, John and Una. They were kind enough to provide me with some complimentary access to a great room over there, so I really appreciated that. Got to stay there and visit Lardo's Hot Sandwich Shop. They had a wonderful po' boy type sandwich called the Bronx Bomber, which had ample meat. It was absolutely delicious.
Ample Meat would be a good show title.
We also stopped off at the Legacy Club and had some drinks and some views. 8 East, which was a little Asian place there in the Cosmo that had the most wonderful bao buns. I would highly recommend that. Vegas Vicky's for a beautiful smoked old-fashioned. That was probably one of the better drinks that we had. Now, that's my quick run through of the things. Actually won a few dollars this time, which was nice, but that's not really the point of this call. I'm actually calling as a confessional. I have two things that happened that I think I could only receive absolution from this group. So let's get started. I have not in my entire life, in all of the trips to Las Vegas, ever had a verbena. I know that's very sad, but I finally got my first verbena at the Chandelier Bar, and of course, it was wonderful. I loved it. Sorry it's been 20 years in the making, or however long Cosmopolitan has been there. I would definitely try it again. My second confession is that went to the pool at the top of Circa, and it was gorgeous, absolutely wonderful day. The water was inviting. Forgot my swim trunks, so I just decided to go into the pool with my boxer briefs and just had a wonderful soak. And it was not until after the drinks wore off that I probably realized that maybe that wasn't the best option, but hell, it's Las Vegas. What's one to do? So anyway, thanks for the show, guys. Love you both very much. Hope you're doing well. Bye.
All right. Thank you for that
report.
Good
to hear from you, Rue.
Appreciate that.
Yes.
All right. Glad you got your ample meat in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Ample meat is a funny phrase. I'm going to start using it.
I think that's the show title.
Ample meat?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well,
we'll debate after.
All right, moving along to our next caller.
Hey, 500, we have Mark Eagles. We see Bancroft together at the plaza. We just went to the SABCOM. And I got to say, I kind of like the plaza. It's not so bad. not super loud in here. And it doesn't snow anymore. Okay, it doesn't snow that, you know, the south. I haven't snowed it at all. So, you know, it's all right. All right, talk to you later.
All right, there is a report.
Plaza smells better.
Depending on the day. Much like Uber and Lyft availability. Like there was a photo that showed up online about a week ago. I posted it on the Facebook group, a link to somebody posted it on Reddit, of some guy walking into Plaza with what appeared to be a dead coyote. Some people thought it might be a fox, but I don't know. Anyway, I think some sort of dead carcass.
Yes.
Walking in, and apparently security, the person reported security had no issue with him walking in with that.
Okay.
I know. I was wondering if he was going to the casino, scent diffuser, and like that was the fuel. But apparently not. So strange things are afoot at Fremont Street, as always. All right. Let's check in with Jeff again.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeff again with a Vegas tech update. So in my last phone call, I was extolling the virtues of the MGM mobile check-in / mobile key system, which is great for avoiding the line at the reception when you check in, but I just came across one of its fatal flaws. I was just out of the pool for a couple hours, and then when coming back in, trying to get back up to my room, I realized my phone had overheated. It's probably about 110 degrees outside, so that kind of makes sense. So I had to spend about 10 minutes inside in the air conditioning waiting for my phone to cool down before I could get back into my room. So that's kind of annoying.
And his phone just overheated again.
It's great for avoiding the reception during check-in times, like 3 o'clock and afterwards. But I would recommend just go pick up a real room key sometime when it's not busy. But on the plus side, I had the opportunity to try the at-seat ordering system at using the QR codes from your seat, and that worked really, really well. I would say the servers probably only come by about once every 30 minutes or so. So using the QR code, I would have a drink within, I would say, 5 minutes of ordering every time. So much, much faster. I know some of your listeners are probably going to lament the loss of the personal touch, but personally for me, I welcome our new QR code overlords. So, thanks.
All right, thanks for that report. Appreciate it. Hey, if it in my mind, if it improves
efficiency,
if it makes the customer experience better, then I'm all for it. And in that case, it sounds like it did. So, good deal. Thanks for that report. And have you ever had your phone overheat?
I don't believe so.
You'd know it if you did. I did once. No. I was doing something outside on the deck, and I had my phone sitting.
Oh.
And it'll give you like some kind of red icon pops up, and it tells you that it's overheating. But
oh, I have not experienced that.
Fortunately, all is well once it cools down. I suppose if you left it outside for a long time, you might have permanent issues. But yeah. So even if you do the mobile key thing, it might not hurt to, you know, if you're walking by the reg desk, you notice there's not a long line, maybe go get the regular key as a backup just in case something happens like that or your battery dies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad idea to have a backup. All right. Final call of this week, our old friend Hunter.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Hunter from the complaints department calling in. Just got back from Vegas for the semi-annual department heads meeting with the boss. And wanted to share a few things. Probably end up writing more, maybe a long Twitter thread or something with some thoughts, but I'll share a few now. Stayed at Encore, which is great. Everything is spotless and well taken care of. Though I did notice something I saw throughout, which was the places are clearly understaffed, especially in the food and beverage outlets. Longer waits, places with weird hours, that sort of thing. A lot of that stuff. Two of the big reasons I wanted to go was that I wanted to see Resorts World and Circa. My last trip was in 2019, so haven't seen Circa yet. Resorts World is interesting, and I think a lot of potential, but is going through a rough teething period for sure. Lots of tech problems for a supposedly tech-forward resort, and what seemed like a lot of logistical and inventory-type problems, too. Like, for instance, sorry, we don't have the ingredient XYZ to make the thing you ordered. But some very nice people working there who are figuring it out as they go, so appreciated the employees. still a lot of construction going on. The place is very much not finished, even more than I sort of expected. Lots of dirt all over the place and construction workers and whatnot. Going downtown to Circa, it's just as impressive as I hoped it would be. Definitely the crown jewel of Fremont Street and full of all sorts of nice touches. I really look forward to staying there sometime soon, hopefully on my next trip or thereabouts. Dropped into 8 East there for some food based on your recommendation, and it was amazing. So, so good. Would definitely recommend that. One thing I just circling back for a minute. At Resorts World, the Starlight on 66 Lounge is definitely a standout. Recommend people check that out. And with a surprisingly relaxed dress code, I saw folks up there with shorts and tennis shoes and all sorts of stuff. Maybe they'll tighten that up as it gets more popular, but it was a really, really sweet spot with an incredible view. I'd say overall, it was really great to get back into town and to see friends for the first time in ages, and I'm really looking forward to my next trip. And, yeah, like I said, I'll probably post a bunch more thoughts and maybe some photos in a Twitter thread where I don't have this draconian 3-minute limit. Okay, stay cool, kids. Cheerio. Whatever. Love you guys.
It was wonderful to see you in Las Vegas. And I will just say if you have if you take issue with the 3-minute limit on our voicemail line, feel free to send your hate mail to hunter@ratevegas.com.
He did end up doing a couple Twitter threads that were very informative, and he had a link to some pictures that were very cool.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate that report and your observations from your time at those properties. All right. We'll get to more phone calls next week, and we'll get probably caught up next week. Before we go, we have some Karma donations to thank folks for. Thank you to the following people for their generous contributions to 500 by Midnight. That almost sounds like it's scripted, and it's not. It was just me rattling that off. Tracy convinced work to send me to the Black Hat / DEF CON convention.
Yay.
6 nights on the Strip. Awesome.
Have fun.
Well done convincing somebody else to foot the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Greg and Janine, Karma donation for a trip August 7th through the 12th. First trip since live music was back. Can't wait. Hoping the royal drought ends at 20 trips. We do wish that for you as well. Have a great time.
Yes.
Stephen Katie. Royals. Yeah. Stephen Katie with a Karma donation for the first trip since the wedding down there in 2019. Quick 2-nighter on the 14th, staying at Resorts World. Really looking forward to Omega Mart.
Yay.
Hope you have a wonderful time. Yes. Glad you're able to get back to Vegas. Kate, finally heading to Vegas next week after having to reschedule my yay done with treatment trip to yay 1.5 years cancer-free trip.
Woo! Congratulations.
Awesome. Congratulations, Kate. Can't wait to get back after not visiting since October 2019. And I know Kate sent an email with some stuff. I just wanted to let you know I did get that, and thank you for the suggestions. All right. J&M. This was an on-site Karma donation in an attempt to turn things around.
I hope that happened.
Currently losing our shirts in Las Vegas, in need of some Karma. Hope that it worked out for you. Hope
yes.
Whether you won or lost, I hope you had an amazing trip. Jennifer with a Karma donation for a weekend add-on to a work trip next week. Our timing is impeccable. After being there in May, just before the mask mandate was lifted, we're now going a week after its return. Oh well, viva Mask Vegas. Yeah, you gotta just roll with it these days.
Yep. At least you're in Vegas, though.
Exactly. You know, wouldn't you rather be there than not? I know I would. Steph and Brian from Oklahoma, Karma donation for a trip celebrating their 8th anniversary and the end of Brian's time on active duty. That is awesome. Congratulations.
Yes.
First trip since having a child during the pandemic. Now, when you have a child during the pandemic, is that considered a pandemic baby, or is it a pandemic baby if it was conceived during the pandemic? And I suppose theoretically it could be both because the pandemic has spanned more than 9 months, but congratulations on your pandemic baby. That doesn't sound good. That's a bad thing. Anyway. Have a great trip. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
And finally, Stacy, celebrating Lainey Vi's 21st birthday.
Yay.
At the Cosmo. Happy 21st birthday. Have a wonderful trip.
Yes.
Thank you all so much. We appreciate you for your support of the podcast. All right. That's going to do it for this week. As always, 500bymidnight.com is the website. You can send Dear Tim and Michelle questions, if you are so inclined, to 500@gmail.com. And that voicemail line, we'd love to hear from you with your reviews, your trip observations, all that kind of stuff at 702-866-9494. Always good to hear from you. We appreciate the calls. We appreciate you listening, and we will be back soon with another show. Until then, have a great week.
Bye-bye.